Good afternoon, and welcome to Aramis Communications Internet Radio. This is Martha Ann Zerba.
And Emily Osman.
From the Legion of Mary, Wilmington, Delaware Curia, United States of America. We are broadcasting from Hocassin, Delaware. Today is the 19th of June, and we will be talking about the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, of course, because today is the feast day. Yeah. So on this hour of grace, where mercy triumph over justice, let us immerse ourselves completely in the Lord's mercy, adoring, glorifying, invoking his omnipotence for the whole world and particularly for poor sinners.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. A fount of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us
this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair, nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
Okay, now from Catholic Answers, a woman by the name of Michelle Arnold explains how we should explain the Sacred Heart to Protestants. So as the Easter season comes to a close and ordinary time opens, we encounter a slew of feast days during the liturgical transition period: Trinity Sunday, Corpus Christi, and finally the Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. The Church usually celebrates the Feast of the Two Hearts on Friday, today, and Saturday following the Solemnity of the Body and Blood of Christ, which is Corpus Christi. Both feasts have theological roots and expressions of popular devotion that go back to the earliest centuries, but the feasts themselves were established more recently in Church history. The Feast of the Sacred Heart was placed on the universal calendar of the Latin Church in 1856. The Immaculate Heart became a universal feast in 1944. Now, devotion to the Sacred Heart focuses on God's self-sacrificial love for humankind. For God, the Son, so loved the world that he allowed a spear to pierce his human heart, from which flowed blood and water for the salvation of the world. Now, that comes from John chapter 3, verse 16, and also verse 19. The popular devotions to the Sacred Heart that are commonly practiced today were inspired by the visions of Christ reported by St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, a 17th century nun. Among other things, Christ asked for reception of communion on First Fridays and for holy hours before the Blessed Sacrament. The Immaculate Heart of Mary devotion focuses on the love of the Blessed Virgin Mary for God, and on how our own imperfect love for God, though marred by sin, can become perfected when offered to God in union with Mary's perfect human love for him. Popular devotions associated with the Immaculate Heart are the Miraculous Medal, which was inspired by visions of the Blessed Virgin given in the 19th century to St. Catherine Laboureau, and the reparations made for sin on First Saturdays. Interestingly, the Church initially was reluctant to establish a feast day for the Immaculate Heart, rejecting early efforts by St. John Eudes in the 17th century to gain approval for the feast. Protestants sometimes object to Catholic devotions like the Sacred and Immaculate Hearts, and not only out of discomfort with Marian veneration. They also tend to see such devotions as accretions that mar the original purity of the Christian faith. They not only ask where such observances can be found in the Bible, they ask why the early Christians didn't seem to know anything about them. Given the later origins of the Sacred and Immaculate Hearts devotion, this objection might seem to have merit. Wow, that's really interesting, Emily. I never realized that if it wasn't for these certain saints, we would have never had it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So why don't you continue with this?
Okay. Sometimes Catholic apologists can get caught up in trying to demonstrate that non-apostolic traditions, the lowercase t traditions, that are not part of the deposit of the faith, are in harmony with Scripture and the practices of the early Church, that we neglect to challenge the Protestant assumption that later developments in Christian piety are, by that fact, necessarily to be rejected. One way to demonstrate to Protestants that the development of pious practices throughout Christian history can be acceptable, so long as those practices don't contradict Christian dogma, is to point out modern Protestant pieties that were unknown in the early centuries of the Church, and that we may note to ourselves, can appear to be improvised substitutions for lost sacraments. Let's look at a few of them. You want to start?
Sure. Let's first talk about infant baptism, which is one of the theological issues on which fundamentalist Christians disagree with Catholics. They believe that baptism is only for adults, or at least for those who have reached the age of reason and are able to make a decision for Christ. But there seems to be a universal human need for ceremonies that welcome newborns into human society, especially spiritual society. And thus, many fundamentalist churches offer dedication ceremonies in which new parents present their baby to the Christian community and pledge to raise the child for Christ. Now, altar calls are a staple in many evangelist church. At some point during Sunday services, the preacher will invite anyone present who hasn't yet made a personal commitment to Jesus to come forward to the altar and to accept Jesus into his life as his personal Lord and Savior. Evangelicals consider this commitment central to the Christian life, to the point that a person's eternal salvation is in doubt if he does not experience this moment of conversion. For Catholics, the central action of Sunday service is the Mass, and the place for a declaration of a personal need for Christ's saving power is in the confessional. And now, at a Catholic nuptial Mass, the Eucharist is a symbol not just of the congregation's communion in Christ, but also of a newly married couple's union in Christ. Although many Protestant communities no longer consider marriage or the Eucharist to be sacraments, calling them instead ordinances that Christ ordained to be done, but they don't actually impart grace to believers, so they say. They still feel a need to insert a ritual into the ceremony that symbolizes the couple's unity. That's one reason why the unity candle, in which the newly married couple lights a candle together, has become very different in Protestant weddings and, unfortunately, has been imported into many Catholic weddings as well.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, very true. So go ahead, I'll let you.
Perhaps one of the most difficult aspects of Catholicism for Protestants to appreciate is that it is a layered religion that has grown and developed over centuries. Protestant apologists argue that such growth obscures the original purity of Christianity, that the development of pious customs such as devotion to the hearts of our Lord and our Lady are like barnacles on the bark of Peter, something to be scraped away. But these pious customs are natural growth, as healthy for Christ's mystical body as height, weight, and new muscles are for a human being who is maturing from infancy to adulthood. Christ told his apostles that his church would grow in this way, although he used the image of the mustard seed that grows from a seed to a tree, in which birds of the air made nests in its branches. That's from Luke chapter 13, verse 19. The devotions to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary, at least in their modern forms, may not have begun during apostolic times, but they are a couple of the nests of piety in which Catholics have been spiritually nourished for centuries.
Now, that was really interesting. I'm glad that Michelle shared the Sacred Heart to Protestants and helped them to understand the strength it gives us. Mm-hmm. Now, let's go to the Sacred Heart of Jesus from today's Catholic. Mm-hmm. You know, in Catholic churches and homes, one of the most popular images of Jesus is the image of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. It is the image of God's love revealed in the pierced heart of his Son. It is a symbol of a love that conquers sin and transcends death, the symbol of the one who loved us to the end. Love has always been associated with the heart, so it was only natural that the love of God became represented by a heart, the heart of His Son, Jesus. In Him, God the Father revealed His infinite love for us. On the Friday after the Solemnity of Corpus Christi, the Church celebrates the Solemnity of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. The Church was born from the pierced heart of Jesus on the cross. In the first creation, Eve was born from the side of Adam. In the new creation, the Church was born from the side of Jesus, the bride from the heart of the bridegroom. When the soldier thrust his lance into Jesus' side, immediately blood and water flowed out. St. John Chrysostom had this to say about this passage, quote, "Beloved, do not pass over this mystery without thought. It has yet another hidden meaning, which I will explain to you. I said that water and blood symbolized baptism and the Holy Eucharist. From these two sacraments, the Church is born. From baptism, the cleansing water that gives rebirth and renewal through the Holy Spirit, and from the Holy Eucharist. Since the symbols of baptism and the Eucharist flowed from His side, it was from His side that Christ fashioned the Church, as He had fashioned Eve from the side of Adam. As God took a rib from Adam's side to fashion a woman, so Christ has given us blood and water from His side to fashion the Church. God took the rib when Adam was in a deep sleep, and in the same way, Christ gave us the blood and the water after His own death." Wow, that's beautiful, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll let you go ahead.
Since the Church was born from the pierced side of Jesus, of Christ, from His Sacred Heart, this should have great meaning for us. In prayer, we contemplate the pierced heart of our Savior. We contemplate His incredible love. We reflect on the mercy, compassion, and love that God has bestowed upon us. We become enthralled by Christ, like St. Paul, who prayed that Christ might dwell in the hearts of the Ephesian Christians through faith, and that they might know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. When Christ dwells in our hearts, when we know His love deeply in our minds and hearts, we are moved to live the great commandments of love of God and neighbor. We are motivated by the Sacred Heart of Jesus to open our hearts to Him so that they are filled with love for our brothers and sisters. In this way, we learn to live Jesus' commandment, love one another as I have loved you. The Church, born from the pierced heart of Jesus, has a mission in the world to proclaim the redeeming love of God in Christ. This is a great mission. There are many systems of thought and action which seek to construct the human world on the basis of wealth, power, force, science, or pleasure. But that's not the Christian system. Our mission, our work, is to proclaim love, salvation, redemption, eternal life. The Sacred Heart of Jesus is precisely the image that expresses our mission. It is the image of the infinite and merciful love which the Heavenly Father has poured out upon the world through His Son. The goal of all we do in the Church should be to lead people to encounter this love. Only this love, the love of the heart of Christ, can transform the human heart and bring true peace to the world. And that's what we need right now.
We sure do. So how about in our lives and in our work in the Church, we must place all of our hope in the One who said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart." This is one of the most beautiful scriptural references to the heart of Jesus. His heart, the symbol of His redeeming love, is also a symbol of His meekness and His humility. Jesus invites us to learn from His heart and to imitate His love. his meekness, and his humility. This aspect of devotion to the Sacred Heart is evident in the common prayer or invocation, which says, Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make my heart like unto thine. I invite you to cultivate a devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. The month of June is a month when this devotion is practiced more intensely. Some wonderful practices include praying the Litany of the Sacred Heart of Jesus and making a consecration to the Sacred Heart or having the image of the Sacred Heart enthroned in your home. These devotions are not just some relics of the past. They have continued relevance today. When we draw close to Christ in the mystery of his heart, this enables us to dwell on the great mystery of our faith, that God is love. This also strengthens us and inspires us to imitate his love and to build the civilization of love. From the Sacred Heart of Jesus, our hearts learn meekness, humility, mercy, and love. So would you like to talk a little bit more about the devotion?
Yeah. The devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus is profoundly Eucharistic. It finds its summit at Mass, where we lift up our hearts to the Lord. We unite our hearts with the Sacred Heart of Jesus in the offering of the Eucharistic sacrifice. At Mass, we are nourished at the Paschal banquet of our Redeemer's body and blood. The Eucharist is the sacrament of charity. It is a school of love where we are educated by Jesus. We pray in the prayer after communion on the solemnity of the Sacred Heart. We pray this: May the sacrament of charity, O Lord, make us fervent with the fire of holy love, so that, drawn always to your Son, we may learn to see him in our neighbor. The Eucharist has been called the outstanding gift of the heart of Jesus, the heart that gives life to the Church and to all of us, her members.
How beautiful. Okay, now we have a special treat for everybody listening. We're going to play the singing nuns of Spokane are going to be singing to us the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus.
To Jesus' heart of Mary, with fervent love for men, my heart with fondness yearning shall raise a joyful strain, while ages course along.
Jesus, by every heart and Absolutely beautiful, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, so if you're wondering, how do you consecrate yourself to the Sacred Heart of Jesus? We have a devotion right here for you to listen to. So the devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus is ancient, finding its inspiration in various passages in the Bible. However, a more focused devotion was promoted by St. Margaret Mary Alacoque in the 17th century, including a specific consecration. The consecration promoted by St. Margaret Mary was intended to unite the Christian faithful more closely to Jesus, looking to the example of St. John the Apostle, who reclined upon Jesus' chest during the supper. That's from the Gospel of John. This image of resting upon the heart of Jesus became a principal motivator behind this devotion, symbolizing a deeper relationship with Jesus. The Directory on Popular Piety explains the spiritual requirements this devotion entails, specifically the act of consecrating oneself to the heart of Jesus. Devotion to the Sacred Heart is a wonderful historical expression of the Church's piety for Christ, her spouse, and Lord. It calls for a fundamental attitude of conversion and reparation, of love and gratitude, apostolic commitment and dedication to Christ and his saving work. To consecrate oneself to Jesus Christ is to pledge your life to Jesus Christ, making an intentional promise to reform your life and act with love. St. John Paul II affirmed this essential ingredient to the devotion, highlighting it in his letter on the 100th anniversary of the consecration of the human race to the Divine Heart of Jesus. So every member of the Church is invited to see consecration as the giving and binding of oneself to Jesus Christ, the King of prodigal sons, the King of all who are waiting to be led into the light of God and of his kingdom. From the heart of Christ, man's heart learns to know the genuine and unique meaning of his life and of his destiny, to understand the value of an authentically Christian life, to keep himself from certain perversions of the human heart, and to unite the filial love of God with love of neighbor. So for this reason, it is often suggested that Catholics go to confession before performing a formal act of consecration, renouncing sin, and embracing the new life of virtue. Besides these more abstract recommendations, there exist several different consecration prayers that put to words your desire to live united to Jesus. Often this prayer is recited while kneeling before an image or icon of the Sacred Heart, keeping and helping you to visualize what you are about to do. So now Emily and I will do the prayer of consecration written by St. Margaret Mary Alacoque that summarizes these basic elements of the devotion, placing your entire self into the heart of Jesus. Okay, you ready, Emily?
Yes.
I consecrate and surrender to the Sacred Heart of our Lord Jesus Christ. My person, my life, my difficulties, and my sufferings, that I may henceforth live only for his love and glory. It is my firm and unwavering purpose
to be his entirely,
to do everything for his love, and renounce wholeheartedly everything that could displease his divine heart. O Sacred Heart, I choose you as the sole object of my love, the protector of my life, the pledge of my salvation, the support of my weaknesses, and the atoner for all the sins of my whole life. O mild and bountiful heart, be likewise my refuge at the hour of death, my justification before God, and ward off from me the penalty of his just wrath. O loving heart, I place my trust entirely in you, while I fear everything from my own malice, I hope everything from your goodness. Destroy in me whatever may displease you or be opposed to you, and let your pure love imprint you so deeply upon my heart that it will be impossible for me to ever to
forget you
or be separated from you. O Sacred Heart, by your goodness, I implore you, let my name be deeply engraved in you, for in your service and in your love, I will live and die. Amen. Well, that was absolutely beautiful. And we thought the litany to the Most Sacred Heart, which is so powerful, all the litanies are, we thought we would share that with you today also. Mm-hmm. So, Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, hear us.
Christ, graciously hear us.
God, the Father of heaven,
have mercy on us.
God, the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy on us.
God, the Holy Spirit,
have mercy on us.
Holy Trinity, one God,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, Son of the Eternal Father,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, formed by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mother,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, substantially united to the Word of God,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, of infinite majesty,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, sacred temple of God,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, tabernacle of the Most High,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, house of God and gate of heaven,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, burning furnace of charity,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, abode of justice and love,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, full of goodness and love,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, abyss of all virtues,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, most worthy of all praise,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, King and center of all hearts,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, in whom we are all the treasures of wisdom and of knowledge,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, in whom dwells the fullness of divinity,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, in whom the Father was well pleased,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, of whose fullness we have all received,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, desire of the everlasting hills,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, patient and most merciful,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, enriching all who invoke you,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, fountain of life and holiness,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, propitiation for our sins,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, loaded down with opprobrium,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, bruised for our offenses,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, obedient to death,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, pierced with a lance,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, source of all consolation,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, our life and resurrection,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, our peace and reconciliation,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, victim for our sins,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, salvation of those who trust in you,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, hope of those who die in you,
have mercy on us.
Heart of Jesus, delight of all the saints,
have mercy on us.
Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world.
Spare us, O Lord.
Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world.
Graciously hear us, O Lord.
Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world.
Have mercy on us.
Jesus, meek and humble of heart,
make our hearts like to yours.
Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, look upon the heart of your most beloved Son, and upon the praises and satisfaction which he offers you in the name of sinners, and to those who implore your mercy, in your great goodness, grant forgiveness in the name of the same Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you forever and ever. Amen. Oh, that was beautiful. Now, the Catena Legionis. Who is she that comes forth as the morning rising, fair as the moon, bright as the sun, terrible as an army set in battle array? My soul glorifies the Lord.
My spirit rejoices in God my Savior.
He looks on his servant in her lowliness. Henceforth, all ages will call me blessed.
The Almighty works marvels for me. Holy his name.
His mercy is from age to age on those who fear him.
He puts forth his arm in strength and scatters the proud-hearted.
He casts the mighty from their thrones and raises the lowly.
He fills the starving with good things, sends the rich away empty.
He protects Israel, his servant, remembering his mercy.
The mercy promised to our fathers, to Abraham and his sons forever.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Who is she that comes forth as the morning rising, fair as the moon, bright as the sun, terrible as an army set in battle array? O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to you.
Let us pray. O Lord Jesus Christ, our mediator with the Father, you have been pleased to appoint the most blessed Virgin, your mother, to be our mother also, and our mediatrix with you. Mercifully grant that whoever comes to you seeking your favors may rejoice to receive all of them through her. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We fly to your patronage, O Holy Mother of God. Despise not our prayers and our necessities, but ever deliver us from all dangers, O glorious and blessed Virgin. Mary Immaculate, Mediatrix of all graces,
pray for us.
Saint Michael, Saint Raphael, and Saint Gabriel,
pray for us.
All you heavenly powers, Mary's Legion of Angels,
pray for us.
Saint John the Baptist,
pray for us.
St. Peter and St. Paul,
pray for us.
Confer, O Lord, on us, who serve beneath the standard of Mary, that fullness of faith in you and trust in her, to which it is given to conquer the world. Grant us a lively faith, animated by charity, which will enable us to perform all our actions from the motive of pure love of you, and ever to see you and serve you in our neighbor. A faith firm and immovable as a rock, through which we shall rest tranquil and steadfast amid the crosses, toils, and disappointments of life. A courageous faith which will inspire us to undertake and carry out without hesitation great things for your glory and for the salvation of souls. A faith which will be our legion's pillar of fire to lead us forth united, to kindle everywhere the fires of divine love, to enlighten those who are in darkness and in the shadow of death, to inflame those who are lukewarm, to bring back life to those who are dead in sin, and which will guide our own feet in the way of peace, so that the battle of life over, our legion may reassemble without the loss of anyone in the kingdom of your love and glory. Amen. May the souls of our departed legionaries and the souls of all the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace.
Amen. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Well, thank you very much for listening. We welcome all your comments. Send them via email to legionofmary.internetradio@gmail.com. I repeat, legionofmary.internetradio@gmail.com. Now, we would like to acknowledge the following who made this broadcast possible. Father Charles Dillingham, who is the pastor of St. Mary of the Assumption Catholic Church in Hocessin, Delaware. A.J. Laporto, who provided the music. And all the members of the Legion of Mary, Wilmington Curia. Thank you so much, and please listen again next Friday at 3 o'clock. Beloved, God loves us, so we also must love one another. If we love one another, God remains in us, and his love is brought to perfection in us. Amen.
Amen.